put those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight. You're listening to 2ARM Community Radio.
And normally I bring in somebody to talk about their journey or an event or an organisation.
And this morning we have Rachel Wallace in the studio. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, Herb.
Well, thanks for coming in. Now, you've come in to talk about something that's quite new to Armidale. It's called the Thread Shed at the Uniting Church. But before we dive into that, I think we'll just work out how you've come to Armidale. Now, you tell me you were born in Melbourne?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Melbourne and spent the first probably couple of decades of my life in Melbourne.
Then off to Canada for a bit?
Yes, I married a Canadian chap and we thought that we'd explore the world a little bit more, and so Canada was it for us for about just over a decade for me.
And you also went to Griffith Uni after McRobertson's Girls' School in Melbourne.
Yeah, I did my bachelor's degree at Griffith University as a mature age student, but I was living in Cairns at the time, so I did that through Open Universities and everything was online. So it was a fabulous experience to study online and still be able to meet my full-time work and teenage children commitments as well.
Quite an obscure master's topic.
Yeah, it is. Australian attitudes to sustainability in Cuba. It's not your run-of-the-mill topic, but it was looking at, probably know that when the Soviet Union collapsed, they were unable to supply Cuba with fuels and fertilizers, and they'd been a major supplier up to that point. And after that, when Cuba had no supplies, they needed to figure out a way that they could feed their population with a unfavourable exchange rate and difficult circumstances. And so Australian permaculturalists went to Cuba and helped Cubans set up organic gardens using just what they had around. So they would gather their kitchen scraps and create compost to fertilise their gardens. And this was to help prevent disease happening from lack of nutrients. So there were Cubans who were going blind at that time because there was just not enough nutrient in their diet. And so these organic vegetables helped a great deal. And I was looking at what Australians thought of that and whether they thought that that was a model that Australia could adopt as well to combat climate change.
So were they suffering a type of scurvy?
Yeah, there were some major diseases, life-altering diseases for people, and they would have anybody who doesn't have a healthy diet is subject to these types of problems.
Obscure, but very interesting and relevant to today.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I was studying it, because we've known about climate change for so many decades, and yet we haven't really done much about it. And I was sort of trying to see why that was. And so I delved into the Trove archives and got a lot of newspaper stories, which were really typical of the attitudes of Australia in the 1990s towards anything that was sort of environmentally oriented. And the conclusion that I came to was that Australians thought it was a great idea for Cuba, but wouldn't be interested in it for themselves because it sounded like a bit too much hard work.
Well, that's probably moved on a bit now. If you're talking 1990, you know, there's 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's moved on.
Attitudes have changed in Australia quite dramatically. And I think there's much more of an awareness that climate change is happening and that we need to do something about it now. And I think that that's a good thing, because we are being a bit more proactive in what we're changing in the way we live.
No, definitely. Now, your postgrad study, your PhD, was in cultural studies, but it was very interesting, I think.
Yeah, I was looking at tree change, and my major question was, how does media influence people to move to the country? So my case study was in Stanthorpe, and I interviewed people who had moved to Stanthorpe from capital cities around Australia, and I was asking really why they moved and how media influenced them to move, and you know what they liked about Stanthorpe. And of course, everybody said that media never influenced them, that they made up their own mind. And then they tell me all about the media that they read that was all about sea change and tree change. So that was really funny. And then we were looking at what attracted them to regional areas. And very often that was things like good schools, a sense of community, affordable house prices, access to doctors and hospitals, supermarkets. These things are broadly classed as amenities.
Well, that sort of leads us to the reason that you're in Armidale. Now, you were north of Toowoomba at a village or town called Groomsville, and you decided yourself to do a bit of a change. Now, tell me how you came to Armidale.
Yeah, my husband and I had a caravan, and we were on holidays. And we'd been sort of wondering about perhaps moving because we had a big garden and we're getting a bit older and we didn't want to be spending quite so much time doing the heavy work in a big garden. And it was also getting pretty hot where we were in Queensland. So we were about under an hour's north of Toowoomba. And so we were thinking, okay, well, you know, we had this in the back of our mind where we might like to go. And during a particularly hot spell, we were in the New England region and we were staying at the showgrounds in Urala. And we just sort of thought, this is all right. It's nice here. It's quite pleasant. We were heading back home and another heat wave was on its way. So we thought, we looked at each other and we thought, okay, well, you know, we could go home and be sweltering in 30 degree heat for days on end, or we can head back down to Armidale for a few more days. And so we did. Then we were just sort of thinking, well, okay, let's check out house prices and see what it's like here. And so we started to make a few inquiries and it really just stemmed from coming down here for a holiday.
But the Four Seasons must have had something to do with it.
Absolutely, yes. Because we both lived in Canada for quite a number of years, we do love having Four Seasons and watching the leaves turn in autumn and having a proper winter and then enjoying a warm summer as well. So that sort of change through the seasons is something that sort of feels comfortable for us or something.
No, definitely. I agree totally. I love the Four Seasons. Spring and autumn are the two my two favourites. And we've got the lovely autumn colour here at the moment. Now, that sort of leads us. We now know who you are and how you got here. The Thread Shed. How did the Thread Shed at the Uniting Church sort of come about?
Well, I started thinking about sustainability issues when I was just before I started the Masters. And I had been looking for a long time for a model that could help a community, a rural community, because I only ever wanted to live in a rural place. I knew that we can't change the international supply chains, multi-billions of dollars worth of industry that's happening in fast fashion at the moment. And so we needed something that was local and community oriented. And I was looking at all these different business models around the world of organisations that had set up similar sorts of things. And the Thread Shed model is actually a little bit of an amalgam, but it's quite different too. Because the Armidale Uniting Church have donated the space that we're in, we don't have quite so much financial pressure as some other organisations to produce goods to sell or something to sell in order to pay rent each month. And so the way we're organised is that we'll have our free rent and then we can just be a skills sharing hub that focuses on upcycling secondhand materials and reducing waste in our community. And I think those things are really important. And that's what we can focus on here in Armidale, even though we don't have a lot of industry that we can change or anything like that. So,
well, I think that's an important thing. I might just go quickly touch on that clothing waste issue. You mentioned fast fashion. So that's an environmental crisis that we've got at the moment, which is quite significant. 85% of the textiles from the fast fashion go to dumps annually. And the industry generates 10% of global carbon emissions. Globally, 92 million tonnes of waste yearly pollutes waterways, which will take hundreds of years to decompose. Now, Australia, the world's second highest per capita consumer of textiles, with over 200,000 tonnes of clothing sent to landfill annually. Australians buy roughly 56 new items yearly, with over 90% discarded waste not being recycled.
You're absolutely right, Herb, yeah. I think in those figures, it's so clear that overconsumption is the major problem here that needs to be fixed to start with. So let's not dig the hole deeper, and we need to reduce the number of clothes that we buy. And that's the major problem. what ThreadShed does, we're just at the other end here. And what we're trying to do is to remake or refashion existing garments into things that are useful so that they can stay in circulation and not go to dumps. Because you read out the statistic that most garments end up in landfill, and that's absolutely correct. Op shops are overwhelmed by low quality stained garments, things that they can't sell. We're hoping that people will make choices that aim to get them to better quality garments that can last longer and not have quite so much volume going through the system.
Well, I think the three things that which you've already highlighted, the circular economy, transitioning to a model that emphasises recycling and reusing to improve that 7%, with only 7% of textiles currently being recycled, extended producer responsibility. Now, we've got a seamless scheme in Australia. It's been introduced to force brands to manage the entire life cycle of the product, but also sustainable purchasing, which you've mentioned. Customers are encouraged to purchase less, but choose a higher quality. Now, this is an interesting thing because the Black Gully Festival that we have here on the down in Black Gully Precinct each year for the last 14 years has had the clothes swap. And the whole idea of the clothes swap is to bring quality items that you no longer want and get a ticket, and you swap your good quality items for other good quality items. But it's been very successful in the 14 years it's been going. It sort of highlights that, yeah, people do want good quality stuff if they can get it. So we need to recycle that stuff and move away from those cheaper produced textiles, particularly the nylons and things that take so long to break down in our environment.
Yeah, I've been swapping clothes at the Black Gully Clothes Swaps for the last couple of years since I've known about it, and I applaud their initiative there. It is fabulous. And we're hoping to do a clothes swap later this year in September at ThreadShed. And we're having a sustainability expert. Her name is Nina Gabor, coming to Armidale. The Armidale Regional Council has provided us a grant for this. And we'll have her come and speak to people about how to restyle a little black dress in 10 different ways so that you can get more use out of your clothes. And then that'll be followed by a clothes swap as well. So we'll be letting people know on our social channels closer to the time about that. But that's something that we can all look forward to later in the year.
So let's just go back to the ThreadShed. So I've sort of got three sort of broad groupings here. So you're upskilling groups about how to use sewing machines and stitching and that type of thing?
Yeah, that's right. There are lots of people who haven't had these skills passed down from one generation to the next, and a lot of people who don't have access to a sewing machine. So we asked the Armidale community if there were any sewing machines that were no longer being used. And wow, we were so thrilled with the response. We've been given more than a dozen working sewing machines, and we've got them now set up at ThreadShed. And what we're doing is we have beginner lessons on a Saturday morning starting at 10, and we have project workshops on a Saturday afternoon. So the beginner lessons assume no knowledge whatsoever. So we'll run through from the very beginning the very basics of how to sew and how to thread a machine, how to wind a bobbin. The project workshops generally involve a little bit more skill, and they'll teach you something like a particular bag or maybe how to make a dress or something like that, that you already know a bit how to sew, and we'll expand on those skills so that you can learn a little bit more. We also have slow stitching. So, for example, the one on this Saturday is going to be for slow stitching. And then we've got some granny squares. We're going to be crocheting granny squares in a couple of weeks.
So there's probably two points I'll make is that, and I did say to you off air that I had a friend at uni whose father was in World Vision. And in the 1980s, they had quite a big project in remote Indian villages where they were actually taking whole container loads of sewing machines over to those villages and teach the women in the villages to use the sewing machine. So they actually made clothing, obviously for themselves and their families, but they actually then little businesses develop out of that that brought money into their society or to their village. Is that sort of a similar aim for the ThreadShed?
Because Australia's economy is quite a mature economy, there it is really competitive to be selling goods that are made by hand. There are a few businesses around that are doing that, and they're doing a great job. But we're thinking that probably here in Armidale, the skills that people learn might best be employed by people doing repairs, alterations, and refashion of existing clothes. And we know that there's a big demand for that sort of thing. And if somebody who has perhaps got English as a second language and doesn't have great English skills but has great sewing skills, they can create a business along these lines with a little bit of help, and they can develop that and perhaps become a little bit more financially independent as well.
And the other thing is, in the 1990s, we had TAFE here, who was running a whole lot of community-type courses. One of them was sewing and a whole lot of things. But we lost all that out of our society. I know that my wife did dressmaking and made kids' clothes and stuff at the courses there. But we no longer have that. So in essence, the thread shed actually could fill that gap that we lost 30 years ago.
Yeah, there is a community college that does some classes, but that's limited as well by funding. So because we're a model that doesn't depend on a lot of outside funding, we can choose to do the sort of classes that the community wants and needs. And so if we have a volunteer who's willing to share their skills in whatever it is, whether it's making children's clothes or altering existing clothes or something like that, then absolutely we can put those classes on. And we only charge $5 for a workshop or a beginner sewing lesson. And you can book those by going to the Armidale Regional Council What's On website and clicking through to the try booking site. We've set it up like that because we need to know who's coming to these classes, because we only have a finite number of sewing machines and so we need to know numbers. For the other things like the social stitching and drop-in sewing, you can just come anytime. You don't need to book for those.
So the space, I was quite surprised how large the space is, even though you've got the 12 sewing machines. It's not dominated by just sewing machines. You do have space. But that sort of in lies the other component of the thread shed, bringing community together to work together in a safe space. And probably, and you talked about not English not being the primary language of some people, from our newer arrivals in Armidale, ethnic groups that have come, a safe space where they can interact with a whole lot of people.
Yeah, that's right, Herb, and that's really important to us. We are starting a series of workshops for Azidi and Congolese women, and these have been sponsored by the Rotary Club of Armidale, and they are providing the support for these workshops with interpreters so that we can teach Azidi and Congolese women how to sew. Now, those are private workshops for those particular women, and that's separate to our Saturday workshops. But we are dedicated to providing a space for people where they feel welcome. And I think our motto there is, whoever you are, wherever you're from, you're welcome here. And we want people to know that they can come in and use our space, and they can just sit down at the table and stitch during our stitch social sessions. They can use the sewing machines for $5 for 2 hours, and they can feel welcome. And in academic circles, we talk about this as being a third space. So you've got home as your first space. You've got work if you go to work, and that's the second space. But there aren't a lot of third spaces anymore. And Thread Shed is a third space where people can come and congregate and meet new friends. And there's no pressure to be buying drinks, like if you're at a bar, or buying coffee or anything like that. You can just come and be. You don't have to be forever handing over money. You can just be part of the community and meet new friends in our space.
Suppose too, you could bring in a chocolate cake and share as well.
Please do. Yes.
Also, would these groups improve their English by coming along?
Well, we hope so, because we're trying to break down some of the silos. So if people, if they're only speaking Swahili, for instance, then they can feel very isolated within their own group. And we're hoping that at Thread Shed, we will be able to help those people integrate into the community and meet people that they wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to meet. And that way, if we all get to know each other a little bit better, I think we'll find that our understanding of other people and other cultures will deepen over time.
I think Australian society is very good at acknowledging that somebody may not have English as their primary language and are prepared to do some sort of interaction. Australians are fairly able to and have some sort of conversation.
Yeah, I think Australians are a welcoming bunch on the whole. And I think that best part of Australia is that welcoming attitude of, you know, there's another person coming, let's set another place at the table, let's create a bigger table if we need to. And I think that generosity of spirit is something that the Armidale community has shown in setting up Threadshed with their donated fabrics and the sewing machines and the Uniting Church space. And, you know, this just wouldn't be possible without everybody pulling together in that generous and welcoming manner.
Well, I think it certainly fills a gap and serves a purpose. I know, as I said, the 3 points, upskilling those group that can take the skills that they learn and maybe create a small business or even just make their children's clothes or their own clothes. That's great. The clothing waste, which is a big one. You know, it's something that we have to address. And I talked about the 200,000 tons of clothing that end up each year in Australia into landfill, and fast fashion industry that's driving that waste without recycling. And also it's a safe space that you talked about, that space where people can interact in a safe manner and interact with like-minded people and get to know each other and hopefully become more part of our community. I think it's a fantastic idea. And as you said, it is based on other models around the world. How many volunteers are helping you put it all together?
Oh, we've had more than 20 people volunteer, and even people who can't sew are very welcome to volunteer because they can contribute in other ways, like preparing materials for workshops or doing photocopies of class lessons and things like that. And of course, the people who can sew are volunteering to teach others as well.
So just go back. How do we book in? So you can come into your Saturday afternoon sessions?
Yeah, we have our schedule online now. So you can go to our Instagram account at Threadshed Armidale and have a look at our schedule. So the Stitch Socials and the Drop-In Sewing. Stitch Socials are where you sit around a table and you bring a project and you chat while you're stitching. And the Drop-In Sewing is if you want to use our sewing machines, you can come in and pay $5 for 2 hours. And those don't need to be booked, so you can just rock up. That's the Stitch Socials are Thursday mornings and Friday afternoons. Now, the lessons are all on Saturdays, and they need to be booked through the Armidale Regional Council What's On Site, and then click through to try booking.
I think we might pull it up there, Rachel, and I suppose we thank the Uniting Church for providing that great space. Thanks very much for coming in. It's been a wealth of information, Rachel, and I wish you all the best, you and the volunteers and all the people that are doing the Thread Shed. I wish them all the success in the world, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Herb. Thanks for the opportunity to share the word about Thread Shed.
And that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.